Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Clift and Robin. You can join Clift and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Clift and Robin.
And good morning. It's Saturday, March 13th, on this kind of cold, damp, and been raining, storming, and all other types of fun Oregon weather that we normally have.
And oh, so is it? I got sunshine here. I don't know about you. Yeah, it's amazing. Cottage Grove. We're only what 17 miles apart, or something like that, and the weather is radically different here than it is up there.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday morning. I went to work and I work in Cottage Grove, and it was, in Eugene, it was storming, wind was blowing very hard, and I go down the freeway and get to Cottage Grove, and it's just a light sprinkle.
Oh, yeah. Weather is a lot better here than it is in Eugene. When it snows there, it doesn't bother here. It gets warmer here than it does there. Of course, sometimes that's too warm, but it's quite a difference, just in that little bit of a difference in miles. And, of course, I think we go across a mountain range or a small little mountain range or something between us. There's a couple of hills or something. That probably has what to do with it.
Yeah, just enough to keep it local, and we're just selfish with our storms.
Well, I'll tell you what. You're welcome to them. You're welcome to them. We got St. Paddy's Day coming up. Are you ready for that?
No, because I don't have green. I keep getting pinched.
You need to get it because there's all kinds of things going on. I think this is neat. I looked them up. I just had to try and see what's going on. Sunday on the 14th at Waterfront Park, they're having a big celebration in Portland at Waterfront Park. And then on the 15th, March 15th, Murphy's Furniture is having a St. Patrick's Day parade at Hare Field in Northeast Grant and Hillsboro. And on the 15th, Hillsboro Civic Center is having a big parade, celebration. Corvallis is doing bagpipes, Irish tunes, fiddle guitar, and a didgeridoo. Oh, wow.
A what?
Okay. A didgeridoo. You know what a didgeridoo is?
No, what's a didgeridoo?
It's an Australian thing, and it's just, do you like bagpipes?
Does anybody like bagpipes?
Be serious. Do you like bagpipes? Well, if you don't like bagpipes, you'll hate the didgeridoo. It's just horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I mean, it's a pipe. I mean, it kind of looks like a long stick, and you swing it around or do something. I don't know, do it. Anyway, it makes a weird sound, and that's all it does. Anyway, so they're going to have didgeridoo. Anyway, that's on the...
Okay, I can't pass this one up. Do you know what the difference is between a dead animal on the road and a dead bagpipe player is on the road?
No.
The tire tracks went around the dead animal.
Okay. The 65th annual St. Patrick's Day Festival is going on, because St. Patrick's Day is actually March 17th. And this is going on in Portland at the Ambridge Event Center in Portland. The Oregon Zoo is the people that are doing the biggie. They've got a big celebration going on, and it's the 17th, and it's they're going to do all kinds of neat stuff, and as well as telling you about the zoo itself and what's going on.
Nice.
So, and then the one that I like the best, of course, which really is food, of course, makes it good, but it's the St. Patrick's Day Irish Stew Cook-Off. and it's the 7th annual Irish Stew Cook-Off, and it benefits the Oregon City Chamber of Commerce. And that's starting from 5:30 to 7:30 in Oregon City, and you can get tasting spoons for $5, and then you go down and you taste it. It's just like the chili cook-offs, only it's with Irish stew. Well, how much better is that? I mean, Irish stew. Yes, absolutely. So that's also the other thing that's going on. So I've been looking up Easter things. You know what? There's more more St. Patrick's Day stuff than there is Easter.
Well, and also, as we were talking off the air, not much going on as far as Eugene and as for St. Patty's Day, is there?
No, I didn't find anything at all in Eugene. I did find a pub that has about 100 pubs in the Portland area, but they don't seem to have anyone in Eugene. McNamara's or something like that. McMinnis's. Something like that. Anyway, they have a whole bunch of them in Portland and up in that area, but I didn't see any in Eugene. And they're doing a big thing. Anyway, so there it is. I just thought it's fun. I never remember St. Patrick's Day until way too late to do anything. So I got to start looking into that. But that's the 17th.
Well, that comes in at a pretty good time because, well, according to KATU Portland, in a recent survey, Portland has been tops the list of one of the most depressed cities in the United States.
Depressed?
Depressed.
You mean like economically depressed?
Just depressed. Antidepressant sales are up.
I don't think people in Portland are that depressed.
Well, according to the survey, they are. They're just
They're the ones that have lots of things to do. Why are they depressed?
Yeah, it says Portland came out number one, other cities landing spots on the list of unhappy places were St. Louis, New Orleans, and Detroit. Well, Detroit, I can understand. I mean, the unemployment.
I can understand New Orleans, too.
Yeah.
You know, they went through kind of a rough time there. But Portland has no reason to be depressed. Yeah. Of course, I know it has to do with the rain, too. Everybody says that, you know, it's horrible to have the rain. And it's really weird because, well, because, yeah, being from the Seattle area up in Washington, everybody thinks that that's a solid rain there. They don't realize that there are. Seattle doesn't get much more rain than most of the other major cities in the United States. Boston, for example, gets more rain than Seattle. So it's, people never think of Boston as being a rainy place. But
okay,
it is.
You got me on the joke thingy. What's the difference? How can you tell a difference between an Oregonian and a Californian in Oregon?
I have no idea.
The Californian's holding the umbrella.
I was watching the news this morning, and where was the gal? Somewhere, Kansas or something like that. Anyway, they're having storms there, and she was on her second umbrella. She had been doing her report, and the wind and things had tore up her umbrella, and she was on the second umbrella and thinking about having to get a third to do her reports with. And what gets to me is, why do they have to be outside? Why don't they stand inside or look out a window or so? I mean, you know, nowadays they've got these green screen things. You could have a camera outside and she could be inside and you'd never know the difference. So why do they put these poor people outside? This is so stupid. Every time you see a report from the White House, it's on the lawn.
Right.
Well, why?
Or
who cares?
Love the lawn.
No, it's always on the lawn.
Live from the location that we're broadcasting from, freezing our tissues.
Yeah, of course, I will have to say I get a little disturbed when I watch local news, and they say, from the back room, and now back to the main studio. And
yeah.
That's dumb, too.
Like,
that's just
cares?
Totally dumb.
No, I could see it. You know, we're reporting live from a 50-car pileup on the corner of 3rd and Main. That might be a little bit different, you know, as long as we're showing more than just a reporter standing there looking at all the explosions in the background.
Right.
Back to you, Cliff.
But, I mean, you know, the thing is, I don't care if the reporter is actually there that's reading the story. If we're seeing something that's important, yes. You know, it can be just as happy for me if it's a, you know, a little picture over their left-hand shoulder or something. But I see no reason why these people have to be on the scene. You know, on the scene is fine. Have a camera on the scene, not the person.
Well, I think what they're doing is they're making up, because there's not really any such thing as investigative reporting anymore.
Oh, you just don't watch the right. Let me tell you, you don't. I'm serious. You don't. I've been watching because that's the things I'm finding. For example, the NASA thing. Have you watched that?
No.
That was a broadcaster that did that. I mean, there's a lot of investigative reporting going on right now. I mean, a huge amount of it. And in fact, maybe more than necessary. But yeah, that's for example, that's how I found out about the liquefied natural gas problem that we've got going on. There are three ports that are being suggested in the state of Oregon to bring in tankers to unload liquefied natural gas that we're going to import. Okay, right off the bat, I would say no, but not to the three ports in Oregon, but to the three ports anywhere. We don't need to import liquefied natural gas. We just don't need to do that. We have it in the United States to last us for, 37 years or something like that, if we actually used it all?
Another 20 in Salem.
What?
Sorry.
Liquefied natural gas, dear. really. Anyway, we shouldn't be bringing in liquefied natural gas. We shouldn't be spending the money on that. But if it's going to happen, if regardless of good, bad, or indifferent, it's going to happen, then yes, it should be here. It brings jobs. I just as soon put people to work in the state of Oregon doing stupid things as put them to work somewhere else. So, you know, if it's going to happen, who cares where it's going to happen? Give them the jobs. It's going to bring in a huge number of jobs to the state of Oregon in more ways than one. First of all, working at the port itself, loading and unloading these ships, processing the liquefied natural gas. But then even before then, it's going to bring in jobs of people building the pipelines from that place to wherever these pipelines are going to go, California, Washington, East, wherever they're going. So it's a cornucopia of jobs for Oregon if it's going to happen. I would prefer it didn't happen at all, but if it's going to happen, let it happen here.
I agree, and I got a few comments to add on that. But first, why don't we tell people how, if there actually is people out there, how they can kind of join our show.
646-721-9887. I fixed it so I can see it now. So I had to say that. Okay. Yeah, give us a call. Or have you got this chat line? Chat room?
I do. I have the chat room open. That, of course, if you go to blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, which is where you'd have to be if you're listening to the show, we do have the chat room open. You can also send us an email, which I do have the email open right now. We do answer our emails, folks, at talk@krbnradio.com.
Okay, that's good. So you could just type in maybe we should do that on Twitter, too. We should set up a thing for Twitter so people can type in a question or make a comment on Twitter, and we could watch that.
Yeah, you could either be a tweet or a twit.
Careful.
Anyways, moving right along back to the LNG as I slowly slink back into my... I'm looking at a website here. It says no LNG in Oregon. It's actually OregonFirst.net is where I'm reading this from. Their reasons for not wanting LNG in Oregon. One, they say there's no market needed. There's no market need to warrant the construction of these terminals. Natural gas brought here in the States over the past 2 years have been traded at 1/4 to 1/2 the price of LNG international marketplace. And Oregon consumers would certainly not see any benefit from importing high-priced gas than what's available here.
Well, that's true. I don't respond to that at all. That's all true, and that's all fine.
Uh-huh.
And as I say, we don't need it. The entire country doesn't need it. We don't and shouldn't build these ports anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But that's not going to be what's happening. The ports are going to be built. I get the impression we have no choice. And so if they're going to be built, I think we should build them here.
Well, pardon my, because I'm not really up that much on the LNG issue going on in Oregon. But now, is the LNG, is that the same natural gas they're talking about in heating homes?
Okay, there's liquefied natural gas and there's just natural gas. Natural gas is very dangerous. It's going through pipes and it has to be very carefully controlled. But you can liquefy it and then it just becomes liquid and it's fairly easy to do things with it and move it along and things like that. Liquefied natural gas is a safer thing. And that's what I believe most of us use in our homes is liquefied natural gas. It's not actually just, we just call it natural gas, but it is liquefied, I think. I'm not positive. I don't have gas in my home. But the point is, it's a pain in the butt. It's a waste. We don't need it. Okay. What's his name? T. Boone Pickens owns most of the liquefied natural, or most of the natural gas mines or wells or whatever you want to call them in the United States and a bunch of them out of the United States. So if anybody's going to have natural gas, it's going to be him. And we should let him decide where it's going to be taken and how it's going to be transported and whatever. But this idea of bringing it in from Argentina and Chile and Bolivia and Brazil and all these kind of places, we don't need that. We don't need that. It's not a – we have enough of our own. Let's spend that money on giving – I don't care, T. Boone Pickens, a tax break so that he'll employ the people instead of somebody else in Chile.
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't need to import it. We don't need natural gas that much. It is probably at this going to be a little cheaper than gasoline soon because gasoline itself is going way up again. But we don't want either one of them, folks. Let's replace either one of them or both of them. We do have wind power coming into its own. It's still extremely low on the totem pole as far as supplying energy is concerned. It's 1% of the energy in the United States is supplied by wind power. But wind power is technically speaking, very new. I mean, we've only recently, in the last few years, started building lots and lots of windmills. So that's going to change radically. But the thing to go for, well, ultimately, the thing to go for is the wind, because that's a renewable. That's not going to run out for quite a while.
But wind is not always a constant either.
Yeah, it is, basically. And that's why around here, wind is a very, very, well, especially in the state of Washington. See, in the state of Washington, 40% of the power is hydro. It's not here. It's only about 20% here in Oregon. Why, I don't know. We should have more dams. But in the state of Washington, wind power is very logical because when there isn't any wind, the dams take over. And so the wind itself, when it kicks in, then they don't have to use as much water out of the dams, so they can save the water in the dams for later when the wind isn't there. So it's a very good system of checks and balances between water and wind power, both of which are renewable. I mean, are not renewable. They're always there. I mean, they're just not going to go away, neither one. Unless, of course, well, never mind. I was going to say, unless we put too many dams, but then we're using the power, so that's okay.
Well, now the trend is to get rid of dams.
Well, I don't know whose trend that is, but they should be shot. Because that's just stupidity. Once you've spent all those millions of dollars building a dam to get rid of it, it's just insane. If you want to spend millions of dollars to get rid of it, spend millions of dollars to buy a bus to move the fish.
Well, and once you get rid of a dam that is producing electricity and you get rid of the dam, hopefully you got a plan in place to replace that electricity you're getting rid of.
Well, we don't do that. I mean, that's being awfully logical.
I'm sorry.
Yes, right.
I had a moment.
Yes, I know. It's sad. But anyway, I tell you, it's just, it doesn't work that way. I remember, because see, I'm old, and I lived up in the state of Washington years ago. And it's true, because before we put the big, huge national grid in place that now takes electricity everywhere, Washington State used to have really, really, really inexpensive electricity. Washington and Oregon still do have very inexpensive electricity as compared to many other parts of the country. But it has almost tripled since when I was there and was paying attention. And well, actually, it's even more than tripled, because when I left Washington State, and this wasn't that long ago, this was early 80s, okay? And my electric fees were 1.6 cents a kilowatt hour or something like that. It was less than 2 cents a kilowatt hour. Now it's like almost 6 cents a kilowatt hour there and here. And that's ridiculous. I mean, there's no reason for it to have gone up. We've actually put in more dams. It should have gone down. But because of the grid, the power is now going to California and Texas and all these places that, you know, Midwest that need the electricity. That's true. But then that means that our electricity has to go way up because of that.
Well, I remember when my electric bill was $30 a month and I paid $8 for water.
Yeah.
Now we average about 200 to 250. Our water bill is around $30. And it's not that because we're using more water, is they have attached runoff fees, drainage fees, sewer fees. Some is the flat rate expense. Others are based on the amount of water you use. And that's why, like in my neighborhood, for example, nobody waters their lawn anymore. We can't afford it.
Really? Well, I'll tell you what, you actually are doing very good. My last water bill, I just dropped my glasses, was $73.22.
I'll trade you. Oh, just your water alone?
Well, my water bill, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just not electricity or anything, just water.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
And it's, again, like you say, you've got water surcharge, wastewater, WE improvement, storm drains, SD improvement, water debt.
Yeah.
The water bill itself, the water, is only $15. Are you ready for that? $15 for water, and then a $6 water debt charge. There's a $12 surcharge, a $15.50 wastewater charge, a $15.50 WV improved charge, a storm drain charge of $3.69, and a something SP improved charge of $4. Anyway, $72.43.
You don't think that maybe fees are getting a little bit more carried away when the total amount of taxes and fees more than three times the amount of the expense of what you're buying? It's a 300% fee for a purchase?
Well, you see, no, because I'm reading the water bill right off of, I approved that water bill. I'm on the budget committee.
Oh, it's your fault.
Yeah.
You hear that, folks? Call in and tell him. 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887. Tell Cliff, who's on the committee that raised your water bill, exactly what you think. You have your opportunity right now.
Don't yell. You're distorted. Anyway. But, you know, the thing is, though, that's actually, when you get right down to it, that's how much money it costs for you to have that water. Because without all of those other things, you couldn't have the water. Okay? Delivery fees, they had to pay for the pumps and things to get the water. They have to pay for the wastewater thing. It has to be paid for somewhere. And so... so basically, I guess that's sewer is what you would call that. So it's
right.
Water and sewer together in that particular bill. But, you know, without – and there are things that happen. For example, the city of Cottage Grove, they decided to to put a new pipe down through one of the streets, one of the main streets in Cottage Grove. And when they went down there to lay this pipe, they discovered that that one of the pipes that were down there, this that were running the sewers as it is, was 100 and some odd years old. There was not even a indication or anything that pipe even existed down there, and yet our sewers were running through it. But they weren't going to be running through it much longer because it was an old cement pipe, and it was falling in on itself and everything else. So it cost huge amounts of money and took a huge long period of time, almost 8 months, to dig this thing up and then replace it and do all this kind of stuff. And there was no choice. I mean, half of the city wouldn't have sewer services if we didn't do that. But it was a totally unexpected thing. City didn't even know it was there when they went about to start this thing. And when you got a city that's that old, and most of them are, a lot of times they don't keep good records from way back when.
Well, that's
so
true.
Anyway, there are things that pop up and money that has to be spent.
Yeah. Well, speaking of spending money, and the again, the number to call is 646-721-9887 if you'd like to participate. The chat room is open. Your comments are more than welcome, or you just hang out and listen. I mean, that works too. Again, you can email us at talk@krbnradio.com. And since Cliff brought up spending money, that kind of leads into one of the main topics of the show today, which is the renaming of Beltline Road to Randy Pape Beltline. For those that are not familiar with the area, Beltline Road is about 11-mile stretch between West 11th and I-5, and it was completed in 1968, and it was dubbed Beltline Highway. Well, we refer to it as Beltline Road. We've never called it Beltline Highway. And
I've been here, everybody just calls it the Beltline.
Yeah, that Beltline, exactly. Well, I didn't know until I was doing some research on this this renaming to Randy Pape Beltline, and I'll get into the reason for that in a minute, that Beltline actually had a name change already. In 2007, they renamed it to Highway 569 and spent a couple thousand dollars putting up signs. And they said the reason for that, because some people still get confused with Beltline and I-105 and whatever, which is, can't read a map, but well, of course, I've been here most of my life. I've never been confused with that. But anyways, Randy Pape, who's part of the Pape Group in Eugene, who's been involved with the, Oregon Transportation Commission, and was also part of the group that, he pushed the Connect Oregon grant program, which provided more than $3 billion to transit projects in the state. So our Oregon governor, Sleepy Ted Kulongoski, proposed the idea, which got approved, of renaming Beltline to the Randy Pape Beltway or Beltline. And the cost of renaming, which is the replacement of about 50 road signs, is going to be about $250,000.
50 road signs for $250,000?
Right.
I'm in the wrong. Let's start a sign business. My God.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. First of all.
Go ahead.
Well, just first of all, it's stupid. If you're going to name, I've seen nothing wrong with honoring a guy, but name a building after him. Or
a tree.
You know, or a tree or something. But to something that's going to cost that much money is going to accomplish nothing more than making everybody confused, because now you're going to be telling them to go down one place and they're not going to know what that is. I don't care how many signs you put up. It takes 100 years to get that into people's minds, for God's sakes.
Right.
I mean, that's just stupidity plus. And now we're talking about, you know, there are some places where spending money is a necessity, like delivering your water.
Right.
But there are other places where spending money is stupidity, and this is the one.
I agree. With money being as tight as it is, thus like Measure 6667, for example, which is the argument that we don't have enough money, $250,000 or $250,000 may not be a lot of money to those people in Salem, but, you can almost buy a bus for that.
That's a lot of money. $250,000 is a lot of money. And if we gave it to our schools, they could do a lot with it.
Well, there's also the hidden costs involved, too, like Centennial Boulevard, which I will still refer to it as Centennial Boulevard, which got renamed. Now it's between Pioneer Parkway East-West, which used to be 2nd and 3rd Street, is between Coburg Road and Pioneer Parkway. It is now the Martin Luther King something or other.
You know, we've been having this going on. I can remember, 25 years ago, when we went through this in the state of Washington, they named Martin Luther King Boulevard or something.
Boulevard, thank
took
you.
Took a street and changed it. And this is just insane. This is just insane. I mean, like I say, Martin Luther King was a great guy, and we need to honor him, but it doesn't mean that he has to have major thoroughfares all over the world named after him. That's just why they do that, I don't know.
But, well, and the hidden cost to all that, I mean, besides the cost of designing and mounting street signs, you also have the cost of somewhere, somehow, GPS systems have to be updated, maps have to be changed. The cost to the businesses, they have to change their letterheads. That's right. So it costs individual businesses hundreds of dollars just to go ahead and change everything.
So maybe that's what this is all about?
Spearheading
the money moving? I mean, that's what's not happening. People are now getting smart and starting to save their money, and the federal government and everybody else is all upset because people are saving their money and being smart about this whole thing, but they don't want them to save their money. They want them out there spending it, and so they can charge us taxes on it. And so consequently, you know, we've got a problem here. I mean, our basic economic system is based on
spending.
Quicksand. It can't work. And that's what exactly happened here. That's why we had this big fall. And now we're trying to build it right back up in exactly the same way it started. And it's going to fall again, but I think it's going to do it a lot faster. I mean, not everybody can live off of somebody else's money.
Right.
But
you have to have money circulating. And that's one of my bitch and moans is that if you lower taxes, you put more hands in the people, they start spending money again, then supply and demand goes up because people are spending money, more businesses open up, then you start getting more money generated for the tax revenues, and the economy recovers. But when you keep raising taxes, you're taking the money out of people's hands to spend, and now when you're dealing with 11%+ unemployment just in Oregon alone, people don't have the money to go out to the restaurants or to the theater or anything outside of necessities.
Okay, think about this for a minute, okay? You say we need to have the money circulating.
Right.
Okay, I agree. Money has to circulate. Money has to go from here to there. What we're missing is that we need to reevaluate how much of it needs to circulate. In other words, we want too much money circulating. There has to be a point where we have to reevaluate what is out there and what needs to be circulating and then adjust our government spending to that. We aren't doing that. We're just, instead of adjusting the government's spending, we're adjusting the government's receiving. And that's not the way it can work. It cannot continue to work that way. We've got to realize how many people are going to be out there and how much they're going to spend. Instead of encouraging them to spend more, we need to encourage our government to reflect what's there being spent instead. And we aren't doing that.
Exactly.
We aren't doing that. We're just going on ahead willy-nilly and spending the money and then crying because we don't have it. Well, then we need to stop spending. There are many ways, many, 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 many ways that things can be cut down and conserved and et cetera. And we've got to figure out where they are.
Well, and to Jesse Ventura, for example, had a really good idea. And I'm not a big fan of sales taxes, but what he proposed was to get rid of the federal income tax and have a federal sales tax. And he said the reasoning for that is that under the current system, the government gets your money first, and you get what of course is left over.
Mm-hmm.
Under a federal sales tax, the government gets your money as you spend it, so it makes them more in tune with the economy. Because if the economy is down and people aren't spending money, the government's not receiving as much money.
Unfortunately, the government spends it before they receive it, and so consequently we'd be in debt, he says, as he realizes that we're, what, $10 trillion in debt now?
Yeah.
So, it doesn't make any difference. But, yeah, sales tax is okay. As far as I'm concerned, there is a better way, and that's just a set income tax. You know, everybody pays exactly the same. There are no loopholes. Everybody pays 10%. Do you know what percentage of your income is going out of taxes right now?
I think about 30%.
Close to that. On the same token, if everybody had to pay 10%, you'd actually get more money than the way it's working right now. Because
right.
even though you're supposed to be paying your 30%, everybody comes up with ways to pay less.
Right.
And so, and the people, the more money you have, the more ways you have of coming up with not paying it. And so, unfortunately, if everybody had to pay 10%, then it would be much more equitable overall, and we'd actually end up with more money than we got.
Well, and not only just the money coming in, but like you said, the money going out, which gets back to this renaming. I personally think, and I talked to a few other people at work too, they kind of in agreement with me. In fact, the two responses I got is, one, who is Randy Pepe?
Yeah.
And two, filtering to keep our PG rating, is why, blankety, blankety, blank, are we spending the money on that when we don't have the money for necessities, police protection, for potholes in our roads, things
right.
that we need a lot more than, yes, Randy, thank you for doing such a great job. You know, we'll put a plaque up somewhere.
Right, right. Well, see, nowadays it's even easier. I mean, with the way things have changed now, send out an email to everybody saying thank you to Randy. You know, that's just as good. Doesn't last as long, but that's just as good. Send one out every month. It's cheap.
or do have one of the local TV stations here do an hour show on what Randy did.
See, that would be even more logical. I mean, that would actually accomplish something. So you can't do that.
Right, but see, to me, it's along the same line as Portland. I don't have the information in front of me, but a certain, and I'm assuming that, you might know, being on your position in the city of Cottage Grove, but in Portland and the city charter, a certain percentage of the money that comes in has to go to art.
Yeah.
Which, okay, art's great, art, you know, but as far as I feel, going by the theory that, like in a business, yeah, you can have 15 things budgeted, but it's still right pocket, left pocket, it's all the same pair of pants, that you got to look at priorities. If you don't have enough money for your basic services, then maybe a feel-good project like art needs to kind of take a back seat into the priorities and spending.
You see, the way I look at it, if you can't define what it is, don't spend money on it. Okay, what is art?
What is art and why do you need it?
Well, I think we probably need it, but what is it? I mean, my idea of a picture that's gorgeous and should be considered art is not going to be the same idea as your idea of a picture that's gorgeous and same. You know, I for example, you can go out and take some of these paintings that are selling for millions of dollars, and I'd burn them because they are just ugly as hell.
Right.
But and I don't consider them art in any way, shape, or form. But other people do and are willing to pay for them. That comes to my point of, if you consider it art, you're going to be willing to pay for it, and the government shouldn't.
So I agree.
Leave it up to somebody else. If somebody wants to make this highway, highway, then let them do it. You know, let them petition the state or the city or the whoever that gives them permission to do that, and that's fine. But let them pay for it. Let them do it. We just give them permission.
Exactly. That's an excellent point. Let it be by private donation, or at the very least, instead of just, I believe it's just only three Oregon Transportation Commissioners were required to vote in favor of this. Okay, great. It's a great idea. Thank you, Ted Taxon-Gouge, for suggesting it. Now let's put it to the vote of the people and see if we actually want to do it. If we want to spend our money, our tax money, in this manner, whether it's renaming Beltline or any other thing, for example, that's going to cost major dollars, since it's our money, we should be more involved in how we spend it.
I'm a little disappointed in the people. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
The people of Oregon voted yes for 6667. That's a real disappointment in more ways than one, because now the state of Washington is pointing to that, saying, well, they passed a tax bill in Oregon now, so state of Washington now wants to pass an income tax bill. They have sales tax. Now they want an income tax.
Right.
And they figure now that they can get away with it because it worked in Oregon. So Oregon has set a precedence. So I am totally disappointed with the public in Oregon that they let that pass.
Well, and what hasn't made the news too much, because this is what I've just been hearing from some of my sources, you might consider more of a rumor, but the effect of Measure 6667, and more so because it being retroactive, which I still can't understand how that's even legal to make a tax retroactive for a year, there's been several companies that have closed down. Others are you know, raising their what they charge for goods. And even in the trucking industry, I'm not going to say the name of the company because I don't have this as a fact of this is what they're planning on doing, but they have a terminal in Oregon, and they only service one or two businesses in Oregon itself. Most of their deliveries are throughout the United States. Well, they're getting hit pretty big by Measure 6667, and they're just thinking about closing the terminal in Oregon altogether and just call it quits here.
That's going to happen more and more.
Right.
But it doesn't – see, the sad part of it is, though, is that they're going to go somewhere else, and it's going to happen there pretty soon, too. So unless our economy gets turned around, unless our Congress, the federal Congress, wakes up and takes a better gander at what's going on, it's going to be happening everywhere, until the whole thing is going to collapse. I mean, we're going to be a third world country shortly.
Right.
How long ago was it? Everybody was worried a few years ago that Japan was going to basically buy the United States. Now it's China. China is going to buy the United States. Japan, unfortunately, took their guidance from the United States and put themselves in the same position we are. And so now they're as bad off as we are. But China's not doing that. They're not following our guidance and our advice. They're just gobbling us up, and it's going to keep on going. So
right.
Japan and India, both. They don't listen to us that much. Japan.
Well, and we're doing a lot of it to ourselves, basically. I mean, part of the political PC group or whatever is, I guess what I'm trying to say is like the Oregon legislature, which I always get a lot of entertainment out of reading what goes on in there. Under the special session that Governor Ted had just recently, which he called them together to talk about the kicker fund. And the first headline out of the special sessions was, we're going to be talking about jobs and trying to get Oregon back on track. Well, that was pretty much all that came out of there. There was a whole bunch of stuff that had nothing to do with anything as far as I'm concerned. But during the whole regular session, basically, in my opinion, the economy was not that important to them.
Well, if it was important to them, they wouldn't be holding a regular session. I mean, a special session.
Well, cool and got.
Yeah, I think this should be just chopped off. If you don't get it done, then it doesn't get done, and chances are, when you go home, your constituency is going to vote you out.
Right. Well, granted, the legislature has to. Well, I don't know if they have to address every bill that's presented to them. Because I know they get thousands of bills that they have to address. But, again, there has to be somebody that – or some way of filtering it on a priority stance. Like, for example, during regular session, a teacher – I think it was an elementary school – got their kids to lobby and actually got approved to make the Dungeness crab Oregon State crab. I mean, the kids – it's a great lesson for the kids. Don't get me wrong. They got to witness how our system works, and it was a great learning lesson for them. But
– I have an even better learning lesson for them.
What's that?
They have to pay for it.
They have to pay for it.
Right. There's a charge. You can't just say, okay, it's Dungeness crab is a state crab. I mean, it isn't a huge amount of money as monies go, but they have to pay for it. If they want it, they can pay for it.
Right.
Actually, then it teaches them even more, because then what they're going to have to do is go out to the Dungeness crab industry and get them to donate the money to do that, because that's who it's benefiting. It's the crab industry, which is fine and probably helps the state of Washington, Oregon.
Right. Well, as far as the list of priorities go, I mean, yeah, it was a good lesson for the kids. They wrote, you know, got the bill put in and followed it through, and they were on the floor when it actually got voted in. So, I mean, it's a good lesson for the kids.
Wouldn't even love to have seats, huh?
Yeah, but but again, as far as I'm just using that as an example of some of the stuff that comes through them. You know, in this last session, for example, it was called an emergency session. I looked at the list of some of the stuff that they voted on, and a lot of it was tagged that it was an emergency. And I'm looking at these titles. Again, I don't have them in front of me. I apologize for that. And I'm looking at these things, this list here, and going, why is this an emergency?
To get it in the special session.
That could be.
See, that's the problem. We're too interested in figuring out how to manipulate the law instead of trying to follow it. In other words, the law says one thing. I don't want to do that. I got to spend my time figuring out how to get around it, so I don't have any time to worry about actually enforcing it somewhere else. And that's what our problem. We need to learn how to live within our budget. Almost Americans have to live within their budget.
Right.
But the government doesn't. They
yeah,
just
I know what it's like.
The budget.
I know what it's like not to have enough money for food.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, maybe everybody should experience that at least once in their life, because it was a big eye opener for me.
Well, yeah, and our problem is that you know, we have these people who go in and run for office, legislator or representative or whatever, run for office, and they say, well, we're just an everyday human being. We're just regular folks. We live in the community and you know, do everything the community does, but then they don't. Then they go to Washington or wherever, and they're no longer a part of it. They're totally out of it. They don't have any idea what's going on. So that's one other reason for not having special sessions, because we need to get them back home and living on the farm or wherever they're living more, instead of spending their entire time in Washington, D.C. or Salem or wherever it is.
Well, exactly. And one of my preaches is the checks and balance system, or the vote of no confidence, you know, which Parliament uses. For example, I think it was about 5 years back, I think it was Medford or Ashland, one of the representatives there, went to Salem, and their constituents wanted them to vote one way on this measure, and she voted the other way. And mm-hmm. She came out in the paper and said, well, I know that my constituents wanted me to do this, but in my own conscience, I couldn't do it.
Right. We don't care about your conscience.
Right,
we voted you in there to vote our conscience.
To represent.
Yeah. So your conscience doesn't count. You're a spokesperson.
Exactly.
Speak what we tell you to speak.
Exactly.
I agree.
And
if we're wrong, then fine.
Right.
Punish us. Well, we will be punished.
Oh, we will be
but
punished. But the point
I
is, what checks
punished
and balances?
For what I did, not something else.
What checks and balances do they have? I mean, I could be running for office right now, and I could promise you or tell you everything you want to hear. Like right now, there's a billboard up for, I don't know the guy's name, but he says, jobs are number one. Oh, yeah, sure, buzzwords. Go for it. You know, but once you get in, you got your 2 or 4 years or however long your term is, we can't do anything about you.
Yeah, really.
So I thought about running myself and running on a platform that I'm not going to do anything. I don't care. I'm not going to do anything, because everybody, once they get in, they do opposite of what they promised anyway. So if I run on a platform, I'm not going to do anything. Maybe I'll do something.
There's a new, how do I want to say this, a new party, the Coffee Party or something like that, that they're talking about where it's I didn't write this stuff down, and I should have because I'm forgetting it. But the idea is a party of just regular folks, and I got to look it up, and I haven't had a chance because I just saw this all this last night and haven't had a chance to research it at all. But anyway, the whole idea is they're putting together a whole bunch of people, and they will decide what thing it's taking over for the Tea Party. And because the Tea Party is actually just the Republicans, basically, is what everybody thinks. And so there's this new coffee party or coffee, whatever it is. And they basically are just getting started right now. In fact, it's going to be this week or this weekend or next weekend or something. It is just getting underway.
March 27th, actually. Let's see. They'll be having coffee party events all around the country. And basically the coffee party movement gives voice to Americans who want to see cooperation in government. We recognize that the federal government is not the enemy of the people, but the expression of our collective will, and that we must participate in the democratic process in order to address the challenges that we face as Americans. And that's at coffeepartyusa.com, if anybody's interested.
Right. I would really like to see something come from that, because they're really interested in, and this is being all done on the internet, by the way. You can go on the internet and talk and chat, I guess is the case or whatever. They've got blogs and chat rooms and all that sort of thing. And it's a grassroots kind of thing. And I would really like to see something happening with it. But it needs to be the coffee party itself. Don't go to any of these television station or radio stations places and try to get on through them, because they're going to try to moderate, so to speak.
Exactly.
And that's not the idea.
No, I think it's an excellent idea. I mean, what the Tea Party movement started should be continued, because it did get, it didn't quite wake the dragon, but it just kind of raised a sleepy eye to you. But unfortunately, what those guys knew, like during the rallies in front of Salem, for example, on the Tea Parties, is that the legislature just basically looked out the window and go, oh, look, we got 300 people on our front step. Ho-hum, they'll be gone tomorrow, and that'll be the last we'll hear of it.
Right.
And that's what they count on.
Well, unfortunately, it hasn't been the last they hear of it, because it is keeping on. But, again, everybody has just written it off as a part of the Republican Party. And whether it is or not, I don't know. But I do know that if you go to their website or whatever, they've got Sarah Palin up there as the leader, and I'm not ready for that. So there needs to be something different. And maybe this will do it. I mean, it's something that started out with just a few people, and in a matter of a couple of weeks has mushroomed to over 100,000 people. And it's going to be radically bigger very shortly, I think. So I'm going to follow it and see what's going on. I may even join.
I was just going to suggest we should follow that and maybe do a show on it. And speaking of, in the last 6 minutes of this show, time flies. If anybody does want to come in and make the time fly faster, 646-721-9887. There's still time, folks. Anybody out there listening want to call in and contribute with your ideas or thoughts?
You can talk about what we're talking about, or if you want to talk about something totally different, we'll do that for 6 minutes.
Yeah, and we're open to suggestions except for go away. So we're here for a while.
Well, they can tell us to go away, too. It just doesn't mean we have to listen to them.
That's true. Anyway, 646-721-9887, talk@krbnradio.com. Comments are more than welcome. But, people have been speculating for quite a while that there's going to be some type of a revolution in the United States, and I don't think it's going to be, bring the guns out like the Civil War, but I think it's going to be that, especially like in the recession now, where you're affecting people's pockets.
Well, see, that's the one thing that I was thinking about with this coffee party thing, is that we need more everyday folks getting involved, okay? Not people with big bucks or anything else. And this possibly is a way where because the world has changed. I mean, the internet has made huge differences. And so if we can use the internet and actually hear from the person who doesn't have that much money, but still has an opinion, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to listen to the everyday person. But we've got to get you off your butts and at least do something, whether it's just go online and answer a questionnaire or go online and email somebody and tell them to get lost or whatever. You know, tell them whether you like them or you don't like them. I mean, it makes a difference, especially if we start emailing your congressman or your representative or whomever. You'd be surprised if we have enough people emailing them. They're listening. They're listening. Right. They're not going to ignore us. But nobody does it.
I think you hit the nail right on the head there, that the question is, what can I do?
Exactly. And you can do something.
In fact, even I was watching one of the YouTube videos of one of the Tea Parties on the steps of Salem. And I really had to applaud them, because there's one guy that was handing out pamphlets and was willing to hold a special course, per se, of don't just let it stop here. Join, apply for office. He says it's not that hard to do. Anybody can do it. Here's the forms. I'll show you how to do it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great, more than just getting out there and protest and, okay, it's 5 o'clock, let's go home now, and it's over, to get involved like that.
Now, see, I have to remember, and this has been a long time ago, and I don't remember exactly what the situation or who the person was, but I do remember years ago when I lived in Washington and worked at a radio station there, it was a big thing in the local news that a person who was on
Your connection kind of broke up there just for a second.
I say a person who was on public assistance in this community in Washington filed for office and literally won.
Right.
He put in a lot of time and went to visit a lot of people, but he didn't spend a lot of money because he didn't have any.
Right.
So, and then people started donating money and things like that. But of course, see, and that's one thing about our system is that when the money is donated to run for office, that's what you have to use it for. You can't just go out and use it to buy a drink at the local bar.
Right. Exactly.
So we do need a way. And see, maybe there's a way if we had a clearing house, so to speak, or a website that would allow us, maybe we could say something about spending the money on changing the name of this road. Maybe that's the kind of thing we can do, is get enough people to just go online and say, I like it or I don't like it. Maybe just as simple as a stupid poll on the internet.
And I think it was KMTR that had the story, speaking of the Beltline Road, and a bunch of people were making comments on it. I think it's about 25 people when I read it, and not one of them liked the idea. In fact, on my blog itself, the comment I got was, how do we protest this action at a higher level? So it's not a very popular idea, at least people that are actually speaking up.
Uh-huh.
So
is there? We need to come up and find out if there is a website somewhere where people could go and make a comment, and then that comment might be passed on to a governor or a mayor or a senator or whomever. I don't know if there is a website. I don't know if there is a local website that's like that. If there's not, maybe we need to have one.
Exactly. Anyways, we've got 1 minute left in the show. I'd like to remind people that tonight, don't forget to change your clocks.
Oh, that's right. It is tonight, isn't it?
Yeah. 2 o'clock. It's spring forward, so then it becomes bring back to, let's see, it'll be 3 o'clock, so then we get to do two. Never mind. Anyway, we may follow up on this coffee party movement maybe for next week's show, unless we come up with something better. But we'll be back again next Saturday at this same time, 10 o'clock. And again, if you have any comments, suggestions, we want to hear from you. talk@karavnradio.com.
And email us, because even if you just have an idea of what to talk about and you don't want to get involved, just email us and let us know what it is. It's talk@krbnradio.com. That's easy to remember. Talk. Even most people can spell that at krbnradio.com.
See you next week.
Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.